I'm excited to be here this morning. As Doug was sharing, I was having flashbacks to family camp at Summit Grove. I always loved the time at kids camp as well. I remember there was a Scooby-Doo week and all these different really exciting things. And I was like, I hope someday I can grow up and be on one of his teams. And ended up with the Herald Brass and went to Uruguay with the Herald Brass. And then helped out here at Carlisle Alliance while I was a freshman at Messiah with the youth. So it's good to be back. I'm excited to be here. So like he said, my name is Nathan Conklin. Grew up in Spring Grove. Like I said, in Sunday school, people mostly knew it for the smell. It's a paper town, so it smells pretty strong, but it was good to be back and breathe in deeply the smell of home. But yeah, I got back to the States here not even a week ago. So I've been back in the States for this last week. I've been in Taiwan for about 3.5 years now. I moved out there in January of 2016. And I've been back a couple of times to visit. But this is my first home assignment through the Alliance. So I'm here for 3 months. I'll be heading back to Taiwan beginning of December. So excited to be here, settle a little bit, get used to American food, and get used to the time zone. Hopefully I don't fall asleep. Still a little bit on Taiwan time. But yes, I'm excited to be here and excited to share what's been happening. So as I said, I've been in Taiwan for about 3.5 years, and I really love it. It's really become home. I moved there right after graduating from Messiah, so graduated in December, moved out there in January, and have been there pretty much ever since, and I've just really liked it. I have a few pictures up here if we have the PowerPoint, but there's a lot of different foods, a lot of different things going on. Do I point this way or this way? Okay, one more. That's Taipei. There we go. Yes, some interesting foods, okay? So I was like, so we have Costco in Taiwan. I was like, oh, Costco, like American brand, American food. So I got a rotisserie chicken. I was so excited. Rotisserie chicken. And then I open it up and the head flops out. And I was like, this is Costco. They're supposed to be like normal food. But yeah, so there are some very interesting foods in Taiwan. They eat the whole bird. You can get chicken feet and just gnaw on it. I haven't done that yet. I can't get over it. I'm like, have you seen what chickens step in? There's things like stinky tofu, which is just like tofu, and I don't like tofu in general. But then they just like put it in this like fermented sauce stuff, and it smells stinky. But my students say, so I teach English as well, and they said, oh, but it just makes my mouth water. And I was like, okay. Not my reaction. But yeah, so lots of different foods, lots of rice, lots of noodles. Really have grown to enjoy that. Now I come back to the States, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to gain weight. I just know it. I'm going to gain weight. But yeah, I love Taiwan food. I love getting around in Taiwan. So I ride a scooter. And I wanted to show a picture because I'm afraid people think I'm on like this little kick scooter running around the city. No, it's like a motorcycle scooter. So I love getting around the city this way. There's really good mass transit as well, but this gives me a little sense of freedom. I can go where I want to. So I serve at Aroma. That is a Envision site, which is a part of the Christian Missionary Alliance. Envision works specifically with missional development. So we work with teams from about 10 days all the way up to interns who serve for 2 years. So a lot of my role is walking these teams and interns all the way from application to debrief, doing one-on-one discipleship and mentoring with them as they grow in their missional identity. That's a lot what Envision wants to do, is wants to be an on-ramp for people like you who are members of an Alliance church who are interested in missions potentially, being short-term or long-term. And we want to be like a gateway for the Alliance family to interact with missions. So like I said, we do that anywhere from 10-day trips to 2-year internships. So my main role is working with our teams and interns. So these are a few of our interns this year, spring into this past summer. So I work a little bit with Americans, a little bit with Taiwanese as well, because we also have a, we call Businesses Mission Cafe in the city in Taipei. So we have two cafe locations, and they're open throughout the week, serving coffee, tea, snacks, sandwiches, stuff like that. And that's kind of like our platform in the city, just to meet people, people coming off the street. They interact with our staff, Taiwanese staff, American staff, and they become a part of our community. And then on the weekends, we close down the cafes and have church services on the second floor of our cafe. Rent's really expensive in the city, so it just makes sense to do things together. So we have the church plant and the cafe. So do a little bit of different things. And I also teach English. This is where my visa comes from. This was last Thanksgiving. We made turkeys. Unfortunately, you don't get off on Thanksgiving because it's an American-specific holiday, but try to have fun that day. So I've been teaching the whole time I've been in Taiwan, and I've had most of these kids for the full, 3.5 years. They've just kind of, I've gone up in curriculum as they've grown up. So I really love these kids. I really miss them. They make me happy. And sometimes you get to do really interesting things as an English teacher. When they're like, hey, can you tell the Easter story? I was like, yes. Can I wear a bunny suit? Because I'm sure they will pay more attention if I have ears. So I dressed up as the Easter bunny to tell the Easter story, which is a really cool story. I won't get too much into it, but my boss is Buddhist, devoutly Buddhist. But she's like, Easter's an important holiday for Americans, for you as a Christian, so I want you to tell the story. Don't talk about just the bunnies. Like, tell me about, Jesus. And I was like, okay, if you insist. Same thing for Christmas. They allow me to tell, the whole Christmas story. So it's really cool being able to teach English. Like I said, I've had a lot of the kids for the full 3.5 years. So it's been a lot of fun. And as I've been in Taiwan, I've got to meet a lot of really cool people. I think sometimes we talk about wanting to have a lot in common with our friends, and that makes friendships easier, and of course it does. But there's something special about having friendships with people that you have almost nothing in common with. The language isn't common, the upbringing isn't common, culture isn't common, but somehow you still form a friendship and you get to know each other. And can challenge each other in your own culture, in your own thought process. So this guy here, his name is Justin. He came first to Aroma through Coffee Talk, which is one of our Friday night English ministry events. Every Friday night, we just have a couple of teachers in the cafe, and we teach a lesson. And so he was someone who came, and he and I just met and got to know each other. And he really kind of... He exemplifies my growing understanding of what missions is. I had always thought that missions is all about evangelism. You just have to get out there, you have to meet people, tell them about Jesus, just people who don't know. Maybe it's through a cafe, maybe it's through a church plant or something like that, but it's just meeting new people. But a lot of missions is discipleship too. It's a lot of just meeting people where they're at and walking them in their spiritual journey. So Justin, his mom and younger sister, they are both Christians. His father is not. So he grew up exposed to the church. He was aware of the Christian story. But in Taiwan, it's very much you are identified by association. So, okay, my mom's a Christian, so I'm a Christian. My dad's a Buddhist, so I'm a Buddhist. I'm Christian and Buddhist because it's by association, not so much a personal choice that he had made. But he kept coming to Aroma. He kept coming to our church. He came in the one service that we were starting a new sermon series. We're starting in Genesis, going through the end of the Bible over the whole year, and we were talking about our relationship with Creator God and then the fall and how God wants to redeem us, and that's the whole story of the Bible. And I leaned over. I said, have you ever prayed to accept Christ? I know that you grew up in a Christian family. I know that you would consider yourself Christian, but have you ever prayed to accept Christ? And he said, no. And he and I went up together, and he prayed to accept Christ. And that was so exciting to be a part of his story, but I think I just had a lot of assumptions of what it's going to be like after. You know, it's like, that's the point of missions, get people to know Christ. And then he came to know Christ, and then I'm just realizing it's like baby step, baby step, baby step. Like, we are all in this journey of faith, and a lot of missions is just walking alongside of people. And he also exemplifies a lot of cultural differences. So here in the West, we really think about the individual, that it's my individual decision to follow Christ, when in Asia, it's much more of a communal thinking. Those kind of differences come down into religion as well, because in the States, we prioritize the individual decision to follow Christ. I prayed the prayer, I am now a Christian. It's much more of a communal thing, so the sacrament of baptism is a really important thing because it's a family thing. You know, like, you do it together as the church. It's a baptism. So the best description I've heard is that the prayer to accept Christ is kind of like the engagement. And then baptism's like the wedding. So right now, Justin would consider himself a Christian who's not been baptized yet. He actually will introduce himself as that, just saying, like, this is where I'm at. This is my story. I believe in God. I believe he's real. I believe he speaks to me and I can pray to him, but I'm not ready to commit fully. I'm not ready to make this public declaration in front of my friends and family that I believe in Jesus as my only Savior. So it's this process of just baby steps, coming to Christ and understanding more and more of our identity in him. I have another friend who's not in this picture, but his name is Jonathan. Jonathan also became a part of our community through Coffee Talk. Coffee Talk's our main way to meet people. We have about anywhere from 50 to 70 people shoved into our cafe for English lessons. People say that we're one of the best conversational English groups in the city, which we don't really know how we got that distinction, but hey, we'll take it. So he came in a part of that, met some of our interns, met some of our teams, and just became more and more a part of our community, came to more and more events. And then this past summer, he was talking with one team, and apparently had some really good conversations. I didn't know what they were talking about. A different team came and led like an event, and I went and just sat by him, and we were talking. And someone asked, like, what are you doing? So what's your job? That kind of thing. And he jumped right into this real deep thing, like, I don't know what my purpose is. I don't know what I'm doing with my life. I can't find a job that I like. All this stuff. And I said, so what is the purpose? What is the purpose of your job? And he's like, I like money, like status, you know, all these things. He's like, what do you think? Like, where does purpose come from? And I was like, well, let me tell you. So I was like, my purpose comes from God. It doesn't matter what my salary is or my position. It's all about my relationship with God, and everything else comes after that. And so he just was like, wow, like that's something I've never thought about. So I gave him a Bible in Chinese and encouraged him to try praying and try reading it just to see what would happen and let me know if he had any questions. A week later, he sent me a message. He's like, hey, like, I want to have a conversation about God. I was like, okay. And so he came into Aroma, and we were talking, and he said some big questions about, like, why do bad things happen to good people, and why doesn't God, like, take away all the suffering, and why doesn't God answer the prayers the way we want him to? And it's like, big questions. I'm like, whoa, these are questions that, like, mature Christians wrestle with still. But these are good questions. He said, yeah, like, I've been really thinking about this, and he said, when I talked with that first team, I was 100% temple, like 100% Buddhist. He's like, I think I'm like 70% temple and 30% Christian. And it's like, yes, like that is missions. That is discipleship. That is the Christian life, is all of our journey, step by step, becoming more and more the perfect reflection of Christ. So it's been really exciting. I've been really enjoying my time in Taiwan. Miss my friends. Back in Taiwan. But our theme for Alliance Missions this year is Regions Beyond. Regions Beyond. We're called to go to beyond. And as I was told of this topic and was looking through it, I was like, this is really interesting. This is a really challenging topic for me in some ways, because I grew up as a pastor's kid. I grew up in the church. I grew up watching the missionaries speak and like, oh, look at them, you know. And I felt called to missions at a young age. I remember sitting in my church, hearing a missionary speak and hearing God say, like, I'm calling you to serve me. Are you willing? And at that point, I was like, yes, God, I'm willing. But somehow along the way, as I was kind of pursuing this idea, talking with people, missions became my idol. The regions beyond became more important to me than God himself. Instead of following God to the mission field became my idol. I wanted to get there because that became my new identity. People would say, what do you want to be when you grow up? Oh, missionary, and then, you know, kind of give the whole spiel. That's not what most people expect when they ask, like, a middle schooler what you want to be when you want to be a missionary. Whatever. So, like, that was my goal in high school. That was my goal in college, was to get to the mission field. And I was excited. And then I got there. I got beyond. I got to the regions beyond and realized, they speak Chinese here, and it's just kind of like life. I still have to do laundry and go grocery shopping and, like, meet new friends and, like, okay, it's a brand new church. Like, everything was just new, and I realized that this region beyond wasn't this magical place that was going to bring me worth, that wasn't going to give me a great identity or was going to make me feel fulfilled. This was a calling to get closer to God. And that was what I was called to, the regions beyond myself, not the regions beyond York County. So I've been thinking a lot about this. What does this idea of regions beyond mean for us? So I want to look at one of the very first people in the Bible who was called beyond to help us think through what types of regions we might be being called to go beyond. So we're going to look at Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 19. I know this is a little bit small, but a tradition we do in Taiwan at Aroma is we read out loud together. So I don't know if you do that here at Carlisle Alliance, but I would like to invite you to read this with me, okay? So there are three slides, and I'm going all the way to 19. So let's go. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had an opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead, and in a manner of speaking, thank you. Yeah, so as I was looking through this passage, recognizing that Abraham was the first person that was called by God to go beyond, I was thinking, what are some of these regions that were called to go behind? To go beyond. So today I'm going to talk about three, and I think the first one we're called to go beyond is our own borders. We're called to go to regions beyond our own borders, and this makes sense, right? This is like the missionary thing. You know, we're supposed to go beyond. We're going to go places. It's maybe the first thing we think of when we hear the word missionary, people being sent to the furthest reaches of the world. And we see Abraham himself leave his own borders when he was called out of Ur, as he was called to go a place that he didn't know where he was going. He just knew that God was calling him to go beyond the borders of Ur, to find God, to find his inheritance. And so we see in verse 8 him being called to a place that he would later receive his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. He didn't know where he was going. He just knew that he was being called to go. And we often look at Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20, as the missionary verse. Go, therefore, make disciples, teaching them to observe all the laws that I'm teaching them, you guys know that verse. Now I'm blanking on it, of course. Awkward. But that's like the missionary verse, right? And like in verses 13 through 16, there in Hebrews, it says that they admitted that they were foreigners. They were the strangers. They didn't have a place to return to. They were looking for a better country. And if they were focusing on their own country, then they would want to go back. They would want to return to their own borders. But they said they were looking for a better country, a heavenly country. And so I think that that's a key point. We have to be looking for a heavenly country. Borders are man-made, right? These are things that we create because they make us feel comfortable, right? Like borders are things that make us feel comfortable. And I think it's interesting that at the end of Matthew 28, chronologically, it's right before the beginning of Acts. And in Acts 1:8, we see Jesus calling his church, his disciples, his followers, us, to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So this go therefore is chronologically in Scripture right before God calls us to Jerusalem, which is our hometown, and then to the ends of the earth. And so as I was thinking about, like, what are these borders, these man-made borders in a sense, I was thinking not just about national borders, because again, that's kind of like our go-to, like, national borders and missions, we need to go beyond those. But I realized in my own life how I draw borders around me. So a lot of my job is administrative. I spend a lot of time behind a computer or like on a video call with someone back here in the States. And so I've gotten really comfortable in my borders. Like, I go to the cafe, like I'm in the office working, and even though I live beyond the borders of my own culture and my own country, I have gotten comfortable in Taipei and drawn my own borders and said, okay, I can stay here because I'm comfortable. I drew these borders because they make me feel safe, that they make me feel, again, comfortable. Like, borders represent where we belong. And so it's natural. It makes sense. But God didn't call Abraham to stay in Ur. He called him to go beyond, because when we go beyond our own comfort zone, then we learn to rely on God. When we're no longer comfortable, when we're no longer able to control the things around us or the things we know how to understand, we are called to go beyond those things, because that's where God is. Not that he's not in our own border, I'm not saying that, but whenever we go beyond our comfort zone, when we go beyond the borders that we've drawn for ourselves, we really encounter God in a new way. And Scripture is full of instances when God called people beyond their comfort zone, when he called them beyond their home and their borders. And we have been called to go beyond our borders too. And sometimes there's borders drawn in our own neighborhoods, right? So for me in Taipei, my border is like outside my cafe, you know? Like, I'm in this district called Ximending, and it's like this really big shopping district. Tons and tons of people come there just like to do lots of shopping, lots of tourists. And I'm like, oh, out there is scary. There are lots of people that I don't know. I have to speak Chinese. Like, I'd rather speak English. You know, like all these different things, and I've gotten comfortable inside my border. And I'm reminded that God says, you're supposed to go into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the rest of the world. So where are you at, and what borders are you drawing for yourself? And then I'm thinking about some of our other Envision sites here in the States. We have a number of Envision sites here in America. There's some in Chicago and Atlanta and L.A. and New York City, Providence, Rhode Island. There's a lot of these new Envision sites that are working with diverse people groups. The world is coming to America. The site in Atlanta is in Clarkson, and it's considered the most diverse square mile in America. Just tons and tons of different people groups are coming to the States because of world politics, because of just things that are happening in the world, are coming to America. So our ends of the earth are coming into our Jerusalem. They're coming to us, and that is so exciting because we are called to go beyond our borders, but our borders might not be our national borders. There might be our cultural borders, because, again, we're being called to Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth, and sometimes it doesn't have to be a national border. It is a border that we kind of just build for ourselves because it's comfortable. And so I've had to challenge myself to get out behind my computer, to get out of our cafe and say, like, yes, this is a good place, and we have a lot of really cool ministry that happens here, but I have not been called to stay in my own comfortable border. I've been called to go beyond. I think something else that we're called to go beyond is our own expectations. And this is really clear in Hebrews 11 and also really clear in my own life, that I often expect God to do things a certain way. And that was true for Abraham too, right? He was told that the promise given to him was that his descendants were going to be as numerous as the stars in the sky. His wife was barren, could not have kids, and she was old. So it was like, game over, no kids for Abraham. But he had this promise. So he's like, I don't know how this is going to work, but I have to trust in God. I have to allow him to take me beyond the expectations of how I think he's going to work. And guess what happened? Sarah had kids. Like, against all odds, against all expectations, Sarah had Isaac. And that is the beginning of the Jewish nation, of our faith, because of Abraham's willingness to trust God in the lack of expectations, in the lack of the conventional. And then back in Hebrews, verses 17 through 19, it's talking about how Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice because he embraced the promise. He said, even though God said, I'm going to switch the pronouns, even though God said to me, it's through Isaac that your offspring are going to be reckoned, he said that even God can raise the dead, so I'm going to trust that even though the situation doesn't make sense, of God gave me a son miraculously, and he's asking me to sacrifice him, literally sacrifice him. This doesn't make sense. It doesn't match expectations of what God is supposed to be doing. But he trusts. He reasons that even though it makes no sense, there must be a purpose. And so too should we expect God to take us beyond the conventional. The Bible was anything but conventional. It's a crazy story. There are a lot of really weird things that happen that are really beyond the conventional, beyond the expected. If you think about Jericho, they capture a city by walking around it. That's not, you know, in your typical strategy playbook, you know, like Noah building a boat because the whole earth was going to flood. That's a not normal way, you know, parting the Red Sea. Like, scripture's just full of really unconventional things. And so we need to learn how to trust God outside the conventional and the comfortable. We saw Abraham do that. And it's a reminder for us that that's what we are called beyond as well. Speaking up here is not my favorite thing to do. It is a challenge for me, something I don't normally do in my normal job in Taiwan, to speak in a large group of people. And I got a lot of churches over these next 3 months, and it was intimidating to just schedule these churches and like, okay, these emails mean I have to stand up in front of all these people. And so it's learning to trust God outside of the comfort. Like, maybe I want to stay in my little comfortable bubble when it's just like one-on-one or small groups of people and God calls me out of that. I'm like, God, are you sure you want to use me? Are you sure you want me to do this? So we need to learn how to trust God. And it's really amazing to see how God provides. I've seen this in myself time and time again, and for our interns as well, and for our teams, of just like, this isn't comfortable. This is not how I thought it was going to go. This is not how I expected this ministry opportunity to happen. There are a lot of awkward situations, or whenever we planned an event and no one showed up, like, well, this failed. Like, our ministry failed in this moment. And how can we learn to look at those things and say, okay, what's God calling us to? What is the intended result, not our own expectations? So Abraham had to learn to trust God beyond the traditional way of doing things, when Sarah had Isaac, and then whenever God provided a substitute sacrifice for Isaac. God provided in the midst of uncertainty and unconventional ways of doing things. Because Abraham knew that the promise and call of God to go beyond was first in his life. Everything else came after. All the expectations of how God was going to do things was secondary to the call itself. The call to go beyond our comfort zone, to go to where God is leading us, to be confident in God, not in our own circumstances or in our own beliefs. And I think this idea of our own beliefs is a really big deal, especially in cross-cultural ministry, right? Like, you know, like I said, I grew up in the church. I had heard, you know, like the fourfold gospel, you know, like I knew my alliance theology, all that kind of stuff. And so like I got used to my beliefs and then I get to Taiwan and like it's just a different context. It's a different culture. Geography shapes theology in a lot of ways. So hearing them talk about baptism is really, really key. I'm like, yes, but this is different than how I've thought about it. And so sometimes beyond our own expectations is our own expectations of what faith looks like, of what belief looks like, right? Like if we look in Acts 10, we see a story of whenever Peter is commanded to kill and eat. And for our context, that kind of like, okay, yep, we eat pork, yep, like salt my chicken head, you know, that makes sense to us. But in that time period, that was radical. For Peter to be told by God to kill and eat, to eat unclean animals, to eat things that the Bible said was wrong, was a big deal. Jesus himself didn't eat these things. Peter was with Jesus and ate clean food, food that the law, the Jewish law, said was acceptable. And Peter was told, no, you can eat whatever you wish. That's a big deal. Like, I imagine if something like that was told to me, I'm like, God, no, God, look, you know, doctrine, you know, theology, like, history, tradition, you know? And he's like, are you willing to go beyond your expectations, even of what law is, of what God is calling, what you're believing? And so, as I've been in Taiwan, I've been talking with Taiwanese about how they read the scripture, how they understand the story of redemption. I'm not going to get into all of it, but in our Western concept, we often think of guilt and innocence. I'm guilty, God forgives me, and now I'm innocent. In a like Taiwanese context or an Asian context, generally, it's a lot more about honor and shame. I've been shamed by my sin, and I need to be honored. I need to be given a new face. I need to have my honor restored by God. So if we're using words of you're guilty and you need to be forgiven, that doesn't hit home the way of you've been dishonored by your sin, and God wants to honor you in your brokenness because of Jesus Christ. Same message, same gospel message, but different words, different understandings of it. So it's challenging for me to think about what beliefs that I have of God and beliefs I have about myself, am I being called beyond? Am I being called beyond so that others might know Christ? This also thinks about like results, like our own ministry for teams and interns. Like, this is what success looks like. This many people coming to know Christ and this many people getting baptized. Like, here at President Stumbo giving all these stats. And you're like, yes, those are results. And maybe God is calling us also to reevaluate what are the things that we're expecting ourselves to get done whenever God's really saying, be with me. Be in communion with me. Be in community with my body. And naturally, results are going to happen rather than you trying to work it out by yourself without me. Again, that was a lot of my story through college was trying to get to the mission field without God. It's like, oh, God's over there. So I need to get there so I can be with God, when really God was like, walk with me. Walk with me and we'll get there together. So I think this is really key. Called beyond the regions of our own expectations. And the last one can get even deeper, more personal, is sometimes we're even called to go beyond ourselves. Again, in Hebrews 11, when we're talking about Abraham, we're seeing him in his identity in Ur. And there's not a lot of details given about Abraham's life in Ur, but I can imagine that he had status, that he had possessions, that he had authority of some sort there at his home in Ur. But he was called to go beyond his identity that was wrapped up in his status, possessions, job, maybe, if we want to use those words. He was called beyond those pieces of his identity to be what? A stranger and a foreigner. That's what Hebrews 11 says. Abraham went beyond his own identity to be nothing. That's hard. We can talk about like moving abroad, you know, like, oh, new country, new food, new culture, all that kind of stuff. But then it's like, okay, now you need to lay down your identity. You need to lay down the things that make you you. What does that look like? And something I've been thinking about is maybe the greatest barrier to people hearing the gospel is me, myself. Because if I'm thinking about myself in the way I understand God, in the way that I think God should be working, if I think about my expectations, then if it's all about my understanding of God, not God himself, then the message I'm sharing is one of myself and not one of God. And why are we doing missions? Why are we in this life of faith? Is not to spread the gospel of Nathan. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I need to be in this constant journey of understanding God more and more so that God more and more is spread through me, not my own identity and who I think I am. So what does it mean to take on the identity of another for the sake of the gospel? This is what Jesus did himself, right? He had the status of heaven almighty. Like, he was the Son of God, and what did he do? He laid down his identity, his rights, to become a baby in Middle Ages Israel. That's a pretty big jump, right? Like, I'm talking about, oh man, I can't go to like Chick-fil-A anymore. You know, like, you know, my sacrifice and his isn't quite the same, right? Like, God laid down his sacrifice, and that is an example for us of how we also are called to lay down our rights, our status, our authority if God calls us for the sake of the gospel. And Paul talks a lot about identity in 1 Corinthians 9:21 through 23. I'm just going to read it. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but I am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I might share in its blessings. So that's what Paul says. He is willing to take on the identity of the very least of these so that even some might know Christ. So to become all things to all people is a really big deal, right? That means I'm going to lay down what makes me me. Like, I'm going to lay down me, like the missionary, pastor's kids, American, English speaker. What's it mean to lay down those surface parts of my own identity and take up the identity that Christ has given me? The perfect identity that is not marred by sin, that's not marred by my own brokenness, but is perfect and holy in the image of God, my Creator. And so Paul says he's willing to lay that down because he is free. A few verses before this, it's not on the screen, but he says, because I am free, I can be all things to all people. So we have to know firmly our identity in Christ. We're not called to lay down our heavenly identities. We're not called to lay down who Christ has made us to be. We're being called beyond the regions of our own identity that we name ourselves. Like, I'm Nathan, I do this. I like this. Those things, I speak English. You know, I still speak a lot of English in Taiwan. My Chinese isn't that good. But we are being called to lay down the things that we hold on to as ourselves so that even some might know Christ. When we're willing to do that, we know who Christ is. We know who we are in Christ so we can be self-sacrificial enough to be even strangers there in a foreign land and in a foreign culture. And this is so, so important. I told you about Jonathan, right? A major opportunity when talking to a lot of young Taiwanese, a lot of young people around the world, and really anybody, is what's my purpose? Why am I here on earth? Like, why am I doing things? Why am I working? Why am I going to school? That is a big question. And why has a lot of impact. So I had a different friend who was over at my house. We were just talking. He was talking about his schoolwork. His semester just started and how he was so busy. And I was like, why are you doing all that? Like, why are you pursuing this degree or whatever? And he's like, oh, so I can get a good job. Why? So I can make a lot of money. Why? so I can travel and see the world. Why? Because it sounds like fun. He didn't have an answer besides, that sounds like fun. And I said, you're doing a lot of really hard work. For what purpose? And he was just like, really had to think through, what is my purpose? Why am I doing the things I'm doing? And I was able to say, it's not about me. My purpose being here in Taiwan is not so that I get to live in Taiwan, so that I get to travel, or all these different things, like to be a missionary, all these different things. No, it's like, my purpose for today is God told me to love him and love the world that he's created. That's my purpose. Everything else comes secondary. Everything else is extra. Whenever I understand my identity in Christ, I can be all things to all people wherever God sends me, beyond my own comfortable borders, and however God wants to do it, because my identity is secure in Christ. It's not about me, it's all about him. We can demonstrate what it's like to go beyond our own desires because of the calling of Christ. So when I'm called to go beyond my own borders, my own expectations, even my own identity, I have to be willing to go if the regions beyond is where God is. Like with Abraham, the promise was beyond. And so Abraham had to be willing to go beyond his own borders of national border, comfortable borders, but also his expectations of how God was going to meet him, how God was going to provide this radical promise. And he had to be willing to go beyond in search of those things. And I think looking back at Hebrews 11, especially in those verses 13 to 16, it's really powerful because it's talking about how all these people, this is like the sometimes called the chapter of faith, like the chapter is just full of amazing stories of God doing some really radical things. And so all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. So people like Abraham saw the promise at a distance, but maybe didn't experience it completely. Like, he saw Isaac, but did he see the nation of Israel? No. We've been given a promise in heaven. We have been that heavenly city that Hebrews 11 talks about. It's not about our own country. It's not about our own borders, our own expectations, our own identities. It's about the heavenly promise that God has given us that is still out there. We're still waiting for it. But when we have faith, when we're willing to go beyond, that's when we really encounter God, because we're not comfortable. We don't even have our own comfortable identities, or maybe not even our own culture, but we have God. And that's what matters. It's not about me. It's all about him and my inheritance, my father, and the promises that he has given to us, his church, are waiting just beyond the border. And that's something God has called us to. And he says, I'm waiting for you. I am here for you. You're not going off beyond the borders by yourself. You don't have to be afraid, because I am with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. And I am calling you beyond to the things I have for you, my children. I'm going to close this in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are, that you are our good Father, that you love us deeply, and you love the world so much that you sent your only Son to die on a cross so that we might be in communion with you, Father. We thank you, for how you love the world so much that you're willing to yourself lay down your identity and your own comfortability for us. And so you've also invited us into the same call of moving beyond the borders of our own selves. So Father, I pray that you would give us courage, that you would give us boldness, that you would give us excitement for the people that are beyond the promise and the expectations that you are giving to us, these promises that you have given us. And if we have faith, we will receive, Father. So I just want to praise you for your nature, your heart for the nations, and your heart for us. And more than anything, you just want to be in relationship with us. You want for us to know the love of the Father, who is willing to give up all things to go beyond the cross for us, Father. Thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.